Well, as I said earlier, this week has been some incredible week. This isn't the first time that I've read the book Awakening, and it's not the first time I've fasted, and it's not the first time I've prayed, obviously. But let me just give you my own personal experience of this whole week. Go back a year ago. A year ago, I tried prayer and fasting, but I had tried fasting before, but I hadn't really coupled it with prayer. So after reading this book, Awakening, I thought, well, I'll just try this. And so I did prayer and fasting, but for other reasons I won't go into right now, I decided not to do a food fast. I decided to fast from social media and a few games that I played on my smartphone, that sort of thing. And it just didn't have quite the same effect. So the next time I tried prayer and fasting, I did a Daniel fast, and that was later on last year. And boy, it is really true what they say. It's like putting your prayers on steroids. You know, it just revs up your prayer life and it gets you into a deeper relationship with God and a deeper state of surrendering to God. And so I was really excited to start it again this year. And on January 1, I started the Daniel fast again. And we all gathered together, not all of us, but a lot of people came in to the sanctuary on January 1, 9 o'clock in the morning, and we had a great worship service. Say what? It was 9, yeah, that's right. Oh, here we have a peanut gallery over here correcting my sermons. So that's okay. So it was just a fantastic worship service, one of the best worship services I have ever been in. And my fast at that time was only about an hour old. Now, as the week has progressed and we've been worshiping every morning at 6 o'clock, and then this morning again at 9 o'clock, it just keeps going on and on and on. And I've got something I want to share with you, that when you fast and pray, it's like putting your prayers on steroids. When you worship every morning and fast and pray, it's like putting your steroids on steroids. It has been a fantastic week. And so I'm really excited to share with you the second part of this series we have about awakening. And I'm hoping that you don't all have to fast, but all of you are invited to awaken to God. And I encourage you to go to noresolutions.org and read more about that and join us in these 3 weeks of awakening to God. It's not too late to start. Today I want to talk about praying boldly. And you just heard the scripture read by Duke about Elijah coming to Mount Carmel and having his occasion to be with the prophets of Baal and this big showdown they had. And I have to say that hasn't been my prayer life. You know, I don't normally catch bulls on fire when I pray. I normally don't even go up to mountaintops. In fact, truth be told, I have to confess, quite often my prayers are not bold enough. I can pray for something like a turnaround in this church. But last year, Philip was teaching me. He started praying boldly last year for our debt to be paid off by Easter. Now, that's a bold prayer. It didn't happen, but it's a bold prayer, and I think God smiles on these bold prayers. So oftentimes, we want big things to happen, and yet we pray little prayers. The other day, you know, I was looking for a parking spot. What did I do? I prayed for a parking spot, right? Well, now, to be honest with you, now I'm praying for a whole new car because my car just died. Now I'm starting to pray a little more boldly. Get that? But bold prayers are prayers that could not possibly be answered except by God. Bold prayers are when you pray for things that you can't do yourself. I can get my own car. I can find my own parking space. But I can't turn this church around. I can't light up the world with the Spirit of God. I can do my part. And my part begins with bold prayers to God. God wants us to pray boldly. And it's a shame when we know that we want big things from God and yet we ask small prayers when we do our usual prayers. So I think it's appropriate that we look at this story of Elijah as a way of getting us into thinking about what it means to pray boldly. This is a statue of Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, by the way, commemorating this story that we just heard where they threw down the prophets of Baal. For those of you who do not know the whole story, the scripture kind of comes right into the tail end of it. But Elijah was persona non grata in Israel because he had talked down King Ahab. And he was especially critical of Ahab's wife Jezebel because she was inviting all of these other gods, what they called the Baals and the Asheroths, to come in to their area. It's what we call syncretism when we start accepting the beliefs of the people around us, or we start accepting the values that they have. And Elijah and other prophets of God were calling them out on it, and so there became a culture war in which there was the old guard of the people of God versus King Ahab and his wife and their new traditions and their new cultures and all the people coming in. And so they were at an odds. And it got to the point where Jezebel was killed. And it got to the point where Elijah was on the run because Ahab wanted to kill him. Finally, Elijah shows up after many months in hiding, and there was a 3-year drought going on at the time. And Elijah goes to Obadiah and he says, tell Ahab that I'm going to meet him up on Mount Carmel. So they meet up there on Mount Carmel. Elijah proposes a contest. Who can start a fire to burn their offering without using fire? So you set up your altar, I'll set up my altar, you cut up a bull and put it on your altar, I'll do the same over here, and we'll see whose God is big enough to start a fire without fire. You go first. And so the prophets of Baal started dancing around their altar and even cutting themselves and crying out to their gods and all of the things that they tried to do, and they were trying to put their own prayers on steroids, being as bold as they could, and it just wasn't happening. And finally, halfway through the day, Elijah starts building up his altar with 12 stones, cutting up his bull and placing it all on the altar. And then he said, bring some water jars. Bring water here and let's pour it all over the altar. And they poured it all over the altar. Get some more water. That's not enough. They poured water on the altar until the whole place was just saturated with water. And then he prayed the prayer that you heard. God, show us that you are God. Show us that you are bringing your people back to you. And the Bible tells us that the fire came down and burned up not only the bull, but all the water licked up all by itself. And the wood was burned up. And the whole thing happened. It was something that Elijah could not have done on his own. It was a bold prayer for God to do what no one else could do. And that began a restoration of the people of Israel back to their own God, Yahweh. So if we're looking at this and putting ourselves in that place, my first question I want to ask you is, well, maybe would you even be one of those prophets of Baal? Would you be one of those people who follows the culture? Sometimes we are. Sometimes we let the culture get into our own religion. But why does God want us to pray boldly? Now, this is, to me, this is not a rhetorical question, okay? I'm actually going to be asking you guys right now, Why does God want us to pray boldly? I think this is an important thing. I have another question I want to ask you in a few minutes. But I just want to hear from you guys. So I'm literally opening up the stage here. And anybody who has an answer for why they think God wants us to pray boldly, go ahead and say it right now. And I'm the only one with a mic, so if I can hear you, I'm gonna repeat it back so everybody else here can hear, okay? Anybody want to take a stab at it? We have not because we ask not. So God wants to give us things that we haven't asked for yet. It has to do with our faith level. Well, let's say more, a little more about that, if you would, please. Uh-huh. We pray according to our faith. I'm just repeating her. Okay, so we have to ask God for our own belief, and belief, I guess what you're saying is prayer brings us to a place of praying boldly, right? Would that be one way of putting it? Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put words in your mouth. Anybody else? Duke. So God doesn't want us to pray for things we can do on our own, like find a parking space. He wants us to pray for things that only He can do. And He wants the credit for it. Now that sounds selfish, but really, we are here. The whole purpose of our being here is to glorify God. And when we can pray boldly and He can answer those prayers, that glorifies God. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. Our faith increases if we pray boldly and God answers our prayers. Now, it seems strange to me that we're seeing kind of two things here, that praying boldly increases our faith, but then increasing our faith causes us to pray boldly. Am I right about that? It's like a chicken and the egg kind of thing. Well, they both happened at the same time, and one depends on the other, really. God wants us to deepen our faith, which causes us to raise our prayers. God wants us to deepen our faith so that our prayers will be raised up. That's great. Anybody else? Any other thoughts about why God wants us to pray boldly? I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time seeing people up here. Go ahead. He wants us to be sure that we're God, that He's God and we're not. I like that. Yeah. How about God wants us to learn to be dependent on Him? After all, if we're only asking for what we can do ourselves, we don't really need God anyway. It's almost as if we're inviting Him not to be in our lives. But by praying boldly, we're making ourselves dependent on God. We're saying, God, if this is going to happen, it's going to have to be up to You. I'll do my part, but I can't do it without You. And so by having a bold prayer, we're also inviting God into our lives in a more intimate relationship. How about that? And the other reasons why God might want us to pray boldly. You'll have to shout out. I just can't see any hands being raised. Give Him glory. That's great. We're here to glorify God. Praying boldly glorifies God. Certainly God was glorified on Mount Carmel that night. He wants us to focus our attention on Him. Say a little bit more about that if you would. Okay. Good. So if we focus on God, then we begin to see the bigness of God, and our own problems seem small by comparison, I guess. And so that we can deal with all of these things better, right? That sounds good. Okay. So we know that God wants us to pray boldly because it builds our faith, it grows our dependence on Him. It deepens our relationship with Him. It glorifies Him. and all the other reasons that y'all said. I think that's great. Now let me ask you a second question. Why are we so reluctant to pray boldly? Why do we worship a bold God timidly? Why are we so reluctant? I'll start. Sometimes I'm reluctant to pray boldly because when God starts doing what God is going to do, it creates a lot more work for me. I want something to happen, but I say, oh, Lord, I'm almost afraid to ask because I know when this starts happening, I'm going to have more than I can shake a stick at. And it'll be glorious to see, but I'm not sure I'm ready. That's just speaking for myself. Why else might we be so reluctant to pray boldly? You're afraid God's not going to answer. And what happens if God doesn't answer? We lose faith. Or if we let everybody know what we're praying, we lose face. So that's good. Thank you, Duke. We're reluctant to pray boldly because it may not happen, and there's a cost associated with it not happening. It challenges our belief system. There's only so many times when we can say, well, sometimes God's answer is no, or sometimes God's answer is not yet, and we want to say, well, then what's the difference between that and not praying at all, if we're really honest about it? And even if it doesn't slacken our faith, we worry about how other people perceive us and whether or not we're fools. Why else might we be reluctant to pray boldly? We pray for what we want and not what God wants, and we're afraid of the answer. You know, that's true, and I pray for things that I want frequently. Frankly, I think God wants to give me things. He's done it plenty of times. But I sometimes feel kind of selfish if I'm just praying for what I want, of course. And I usually try to pray in a way that is, you know, let your will be done, Lord. And even as I say that, it seems to make the prayer a little bit more timid, doesn't it? When I keep saying, oh, Lord, this is what I want. Oh, but what your will be done. Let's do that, you know. That's not the way Elijah prayed. Elijah said, Lord, answer me. Answer me and show these people. He didn't say, if you feel like it, or if it's your will. He just said, Lord, show us your greatness and let it be done. And he did it with that kind of boldness and confidence where his life was on the line. And to God be the glory for what happened. Any other thoughts about why we might be so reluctant to pray boldly? How about if we feel like we maybe not even be worthy? Sometimes we feel like, God, I want to ask for something, but I don't even think I'm ready to come to your throne of grace. Which takes us back to that Hebrews passage that Duke read as well, Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his what? Mercy, and we will find what? Grace to help us when we need it most. Every time I approach God, I'm aware of my need for his mercy. And I have to get that out of the way before I can even talk to him about anything else. I have to be confident in his mercy and in his grace. And the grace is the gifts that we're asking for whatever it is in our hearts and our minds, healing or peace or sustenance in tough times. That's grace. God stands ready to answer with those things. Now, as we're going through this 21 days of prayer and fasting and contemplating about what it means to awaken to the possibilities of God, I want to ask you a couple of things. I want to ask you something. What is the one thing that you would love to see happen here at Shalimar Church in 2018? You don't have to say it out loud. I just want you to think about that, because after communion, we're going to have some prayer, okay? And this is something, this will be an opportunity for us to practice praying boldly. What is the one thing that you would like to see happen in Shalimar Church in 2018? Next question. What is the one thing that you would like to see happen in Fort Walton Beach, Shalimar area, in 2018? I've got a long list of things there. What is the one thing that you want to see happen in yourself in 2018? It's time for bold prayers. It's time for us to wake up and realize that our God is good and our God is powerful. And our God wants these things to happen. And He wants His children to cry out to Him for those things to happen. And He has called you to be that child of God. So let it be, and let it happen now.